You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
God does love us, hey? Anyone ever realize that? But we battle with it, hey? We battle with it because of our own context and situations. But I'm telling you, it's the love of God that pulls forward. But I'm pretty excited about this message, so I'm going to keep rolling into that. Change gears. I'm going to talk about change. We're living in a world of change like we've never seen before. You thought last century was quick. You know, the 1900s, phenomenal change. Hey, we went from horse and cart world to kind of car zone and the whole thing and the birth of the internet and stuff like that. But look, last 15 years, last 10 years, even the last 5 years, we are seeing dramatic societal shifts. I mean, huge, like we've never seen before. The iPhone's only 10 years old. Smartphone that makes us dumb is only 10 years old. Just kidding. It's amazing. And it's revolutionized our world. Automation. You know, the things that are happening in the world of mechanics and artificial intelligence. Blows your mind. What's ahead for our future? We are in for a very, very interesting ride. And I reflect a lot about change, you know, even societal change, like, you know, redefining family life. My goodness. What society is trying to push, community change, housing affordability. You know, all the pressures and change that are happening really rapidly, the structured life, the globalization, the fact that I can just jump on a plane and go anywhere within a day and talk with people just like they're next door. We live in an incredible, fast-changing world. And I think it's fueled by this desire that we wish life could be better somehow. It's like people have this insatiable desire for improvement, always wanting to improve a little bit more, aren't we? You know, and it's hardwired into us. It's part of our creativity as people made in God's image. It's hard to settle for just mediocrity. We're always pushing the boundaries, and that's just who we are. And so we cause this change and this progress as we move forward. We're looking for better working conditions, you know. We're looking for a more comfortable life. We're looking for you know, greater employment and easier home conditions and better relationships with the people that we spend time with. We're wanting improvement all the time because we're hardwired. And I think we recognize also imperfection, that we are imperfect. You know, we're fallible human beings. And therefore, we're always looking to see how we can improve that. So here's the thing. I think we look to two areas to really help us to change. And two really big ones at the moment are prominent in our society. If you look at all the press and think about and reflect on it, we're actually putting our faith in two major things. One is technology. We are mad about technology. And it's the big four companies that are kind of delivering that. Google, Apple, Facebook, Amazon. We call the big four. Sometimes Microsoft sneaks on that list. But it's kind of, well, maybe it's had its day, maybe it hasn't. But they're the big ones, aren't they? And they dominate our life, even if you don't think they do. They do, particularly in the US. These are the big four, and they are rolling out rapid change. And we kind of trust them, don't we? We trust them with all our data. I mean, where does all our data go? The cloud. Do we trust this thing called the cloud? But the other thing we trust is our political sphere, politicians and the way that a country runs. And we put a lot of faith and emphasis and probably too much high expectation on them. Die. Let's have a listen. I've got an example, Die. You see, I'll come into that in a sec. Because I think that our society, because we put our emphasis on these things, becomes too much weighted on that. Because here's the thing. The same technology that powers my iPad, which is phenomenal. I mean, you think about it. I've got a computer in a little box thing here. That same technology is the same technology that last night as I was going over my notes delivers pop-up ads for, you know, explicit sites on the internet. Not all technology is good. That same technology that makes this brilliant thing is the same thing that could lead people to disaster. This thing popped up. I was looking at a little YouTube video and it said, enter this world where there are no rules. And you can imagine there's a picture of a scantily clad version of a female with, you know, computer rendered. And I actually clicked on it. Bear with me. It's all right. I think, well, I want to know, you know, if I'm a 12-year-old kid sitting on this thing, I want to know where it takes me. And I clicked on it and it goes to this next thing and it said, make sure you're over 18. And that's when I stopped them. The availability. But that's technology for you. Not all technology is to be applauded. But what about political power? You know, can we trust, as Di has mentioned, can we really put our emphasis on here? I was interested, I came across JFK's inaugural address. Now, this is 1961. You know what he promised in 1961, or he said that we could do? Let's have a listen to him.
A man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life.
Wow. 1961. We had in our hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and life, as he mentioned, after nuclear weapons. But imagine that. Imagine that if we trusted our politicians to deliver. Now, I'm thankful for politicians. I'm very thankful we live in a democracy. Some horrible things in the world. But sometimes we put so much emphasis on change in our political sphere. Here's another example. This is in 1987, our then Prime Minister, Bob Hawke. This is about 30 years ago. This is what he said.
No Australian child will be living in poverty.
That's pretty scary. We have the power, perhaps, but where do we find real change? Because obviously there is poverty still in our world. Obviously there is need and injustice going there. There clearly has to be a better change agent. There really has to be somebody that can actually do things for life and bring permanent change. And would you believe me if I said that right here, today, right now, we have access to that change agent, a powerful change agent, but one in which change is good and positive and not laced with self-ambition or perhaps evil desire? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is the one who can bring real change and solid change. Now, I love technology and I pray for our politicians. Don't get me wrong. We cannot put our trust in them because they are part of our fallen world, but Jesus is not. He is above and beyond it all. And while I've been reading Luke again and afresh, I've seen all these pictures. Let me introduce you to four quick little pictures of how Jesus introduced change in his world when he came. Because guess what? Jesus didn't come into the world and do nothing. Man, for 3 years, this was a rapid fire change in his world. You know, when Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, they asked Jesus to help her. Who wouldn't do that? And standing over her, he rebuked the fever and it left her. And she immediately got up and waited on. Now, that's real change. Immediately, this thing leaves his mother-in-law, and off he goes and waited on them. The funny picture. When some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of them, but they couldn't find any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles on the stretcher. It's a funny thing, isn't it? So crowded, they couldn't get this guy in because all the people listened to Jesus. They were so desperate, they said, let's go through the roof, different roof structure, you know, Middle Eastern kind of old houses. So they sought out a place in the middle and dropped down the guy on the stretcher right in front of Jesus into the middle of the crowd. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Your what? Your sins. Not like, he needs healing. What's the first thing Jesus went for? What was the biggest need he had? Sin. You know, we don't use that word so much. It's one of those antiquated old religious words, isn't it? What it means is that sense of We've erred. We've made an error, and we've got a distance between God and ourselves, basically because we've gone our own way and not followed God. But this is what I love about Jesus. He says, hey, he looks at the greater need and said, hey, your sins are forgiven. When this man thought he needed his physical healing, forgiveness is what he actually needed. Now, Jesus healed him as well. He went on to heal him. But we live in a world that is crying out for forgiveness. We live in a world that needs forgiveness more than any other. I'm talking in families, right through to the global scale. We have nations fighting against nations because somebody way back down the track didn't forgive. So we have tribal conflicts in parts of the world where they will not talk to each other. We have situations in our own nation of unforgiveness, of parties trying to come together. And you know what? If we could just learn to forgive, Jesus points the way. This is real change. This is the kind of change that we need personally and nationally. Another one, when Jesus' friends were in a boat sailing along, he fell asleep. Good. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They're on the lake. Huge winds rip up. And they came to Jesus and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves and they stopped and it became calm. That would just be incredible. Can you imagine being in that boat? Like it's so bad that they're about to perish. Wake up, Jesus. Why are you sleeping in a boat that's about to drown and capsize? Jesus had absolute confidence. He just gets up. You just imagine, oh. Hey, wind, stop. Like rebuke is kind of a harsh word. Hey, stop right there. It's Jesus. He has authority over even nature. He has the ability to change even situations that we think is impossible to change. Our world yearns for safety. That's what he brought there. Safety. Safety for his friends. Our world yearns for safety. Don't we long for safety? You know, we live pretty safe, but even us in our culture, you know, it's probably financial safety that we yearn for. You know, will I have enough superannuation if you're older? Will I have enough to pay the rent if I'm younger? Will I have enough to get, you know, my next phone bill if you're really younger? That's the kind of safety we think about. It's financial security. But in other parts of the world, it's you know, will I actually survive the day? Will I be bombed? Or will I have enough, you know, money to actually live, actually physically live? The world is yearning for safety, and in Jesus we have safety because he's in the middle of all that. And Psalm 12 says, now I will arise. I will set him in the safety for which he longs. The world is longing for safety, and even David back then recognized that, and that's what Jesus brought. Another example is when thousands were listening to Jesus teach in the middle of nowhere. You know, they're out nowhere, no town, no village. 5,000 people are there. And the day was ending and the 12 came and said, send the crowd away. It's Jesus' friends. Send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for we are in a desolate place. It's a problem. Jesus is saying, hey, we need, the friends are saying, we need to, these people, otherwise, you know, we've got to find our own resources and see what's happening. But this is what Jesus did. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and he blessed them, broke them, and kept giving them to his disciples to set before him. Handful of fish, bit of bread. He kept breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. And I love this verse. They all ate and had just enough. No, hang on. My glasses again. They all ate and just had a little bit, enough to get them back on the road. No, they all ate and had a little bit each. They all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up. 12 baskets full. That's abundance. Friends, that's abundance. It's not just, let's just get them home. It's like, let's keep feeding them until they're satisfied. I reckon that's a lot of food. And There's stuff left over, 12 baskets full. This is provision, provision. You might be living in a world where you think just enough is enough, but Jesus is into the leftovers. Sometimes we've got to change the portraits of who we think Jesus is. Jesus is incredibly abundant in our world, cares for people. Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me, abundantly. It's more than the God of just enough. We serve the God who is abundant. So Jesus brings these things, healing and safety and provision. He's our healer and forgiveness. You see, all these things, these are real changes that Jesus brings us. It's just a snapshot of Jesus' miracles in this month of a portrait. But that's the kind of real world. That's the change that we need to see. And you and I, here's the rub. You and I have access to this. You see, this book is not just an historical book. It's not just what happened 2,000 years ago. This is the Word of God. These stories are in here because Jesus says, you'll do greater things than these. And down through the history of the church, we've seen this book come alive. And the things that Jesus did, they're not just historical things that we talk about and make nice little meanings about. So Jesus fed the 5,000, therefore he loves people. No, Jesus fed the 5,000. He's demonstrating his abundance so you and I can trust on that abundance and bring real change. Let's not whittle down the Bible to nice, neat principles. Let's believe in the Word of God for what it says and get excited and stirred about the possibilities of God. You see, you and I have that. If you know Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you then have access to all these things. And I've just picked four. You have access to real change in your world. Guaranteed. It's bundled up in a salvation package and delivered to you. I can use contemporary language when you buy stuff online. Guaranteed healing, forgiveness, protector, provider, because that's what it's like in heaven. You and I are completely healed, body, mind, emotions. You will be in heaven completely, completely healed, completely free from any soreness. Imagine being able to just run for a you could do a marathon, maybe. Completely forgiven. Completely. Without any unforgiveness. Completely able to come and talk with God. Absolutely safe. Absolutely safe. Picture heaven right now. Nothing will ever come at you ever again, whether it's poverty or warfare or self-doubt. Completely safe. And you are, hang on, Doug. You are abundantly provided for, abundantly. There will be an abundance, streets paved with gold, living in paradise. Now listen to here, this is just the thing. What about now? Isn't that the mystery? Because that's the kingdom, heavenly reality that Jesus brings. That's what Jesus says, like your kingdom come, your will be done. When Jesus brings in the kingdom of God, he personally brings down from heaven those realities in heaven and you see them displayed in everyday life, right? And so he's showing us what it's going to be like in heaven. But some things, there are things like this that we pray and believe that actually happen here on earth as well. And that's why he prays. He says, pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it's in heaven. But this is where the biggest mystery lies, isn't it? It's the why not. It's well, the how come this hasn't happened. It's the elephant in the room. We can talk all we like about what Jesus says in his word. And if we say, well, I haven't been provided for, well, is the Bible not true? Isn't that true? Like I've trusted in that before and I haven't seen that promise come to pass. And I know that it's in heaven, I know all that, and I'll get there one day, but what about now? And that's where you and I have to use a bit of wisdom. Now, we can either kind of explain away and all the miracles and Jesus and make them into nice principles. I refuse to go there. I don't see that. Because I know personally, I have seen so many of these things in my life. I have seen it. I have seen provision, incredible provision in my world. I've seen provision where I've stepped out and done things that shouldn't be possible and God has provided for me in crazy ways. I have seen God forgive. I'll come back to die. I have seen God forgive me personally and help me to forgive everybody. And it's really not hard for me then to forgive people because I walk in that. I've seen God protect me. I had this crazy time when Ro and I lived in Thailand. We were in this tropical storm up on a mountaintop and trees were going down everywhere and we're cowered down in the middle of our house thinking, I can't imagine this storm getting any worse. And then it doubled the wind speed. I was really frightened. I don't get frightened very much. But this was frightening. And all around us, things were falling down and houses, a big thing fell in a car. But in the middle of that, we felt absolutely secure. And even the trees that lined our house didn't get touched. I've been in places of divine protection and known it. So I know that these things aren't just principles to live by. I know they're real. I've seen healing here in this church. You talk to people like Bev and it was Linda and Rosemary, just three people. Got great stories, and there's probably heaps more of physical healings that have happened to people in this church. So how do we deal with the tension? How do I deal with my mother-in-law who's struggling? You know, Ron's mum. Man, how do you deal with that? You know, when someone's got perhaps a few weeks to live, do you accept it or do you fight? Tension, isn't it? But what I'm going to suggest to you is that we pray and we seek and never give up until it's over. Because I know one thing, if I don't pray and I don't seek, if I never ask, I'll never get. You have not because you ask not, says James. And as I was pondering all these things, because these are real, hey, here's two thoughts. Firstly, I'm going to believe in what I read in my Bible and let that shape my worldview rather than see what happens in the world and let that shape my view of Jesus. So let's be people who are informed by the Word of God. That framework shapes the world around us. When there's a question mark, let's go back on the Word of God, not what the world says. That's the first thought. And secondly, it's a simple strategy. And as I pondered this, the Lord said, ask. Ask. And you might have your own dilemmas this morning. You might have your own situations where you just need a miracle. You need real change. Real change. And we are going to spend some time together praying at the end and standing together for real change. But here's what ask actually means. I said, Lord, what is this? ASK. He said, exactly, ASK. First thing's A is to give attention to. Give attention to. That's what it means. Now, look at this. Jesus in Luke 7. As he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. It's a funeral procession. You and I had a funeral procession. What are we doing? Oh, we're comforting the people around us. Jesus is looking. He says, actually, that's not right. That son needs to live for her mum, only son of a widow. He felt compassion for her and said, do not weep. And literally, this guy sat up in his coffin and came to life. It's phenomenal. Jesus gave attention to the situation. He'd walk into a room and go, that's not right. You see, so many of us don't do that. We just accept what is in our world. We put up with things without giving attention to what actually could change. And we put up with what the situation is. Jesus never did that. He always just went through it. So you and I need to notice what's in our world or the world around you. Even take a step back from your life or go back in time, go back 2 or 5 or 10 years, depending how old you are, you know, 20. think, is where I am right now where I wanted to be back then? Back then when perhaps I was more idealistic or more passionate, or now I'm here and, well, there's all this stuff that's happened and, you know, it's all right, but I'm not really firing. Go back. Give attention to the things that you can pray into. Could be in your marriage, you know. Start and you say, I do, and then you walk, and maybe when you get to 30 or 40 years or 20, I don't know, just kind of things creep in and you get used to not talking to each other and you end up in different beds, or I don't know, divorce, all kinds of things, and these things happen. But you know what? We could stand and say, hey, let's fight for that. What about a family? What about a workplace? What about every context we have? Or the neighbor I haven't spoken to for 10 years. You know, that's just him. He just lives there. And oh, actually do something. So give attention to the context of your world. The second thing, ASK, right? Second thing is seek. Seek. Luke 11 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Do you know what that says to me? Is that prayer is active. It's active. Ask, seek, knock. It's moving. It's walking. These champions who walk at 6:15 on a frosty morning. It's awesome because they're seeking, looking, searching, knocking. Tell you what, prayer is not just sitting alone and going, ah, hope it happens. If it be your will, God. It's a crazy prayer to pray. Of course it's his will. You know, if it's in his word, it's a Christian cop-out. My high horse today. Sorry. You know those prayers, if it be your will, if it not be, then it's all right. Just ask anyway. If it's not in his will, he'll tell you. Sorry, I'm trying not to be naughty this morning. Careful. Where's Rosemary when I need her? And Ro, yeah, she's in kids' church. Beauty. That's why we pray and fast and seek and knock. You know, isn't that exciting? Because when I pray and fast, you know what? I love it because it's not about me. Not about my smarts or my ability. It's about his. I'm putting all requests to him. Persistence. It's persistence. Action. So we give attention to those things that are not right in our world. And then we seek the things that we want to change. And we have a kingdom focus, is K. It's about the kingdom. It's not about me. And what is the kingdom, you know? The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Jesus. Kingdom of Thailand, where we visit a lot, the rule and reign of the king of Thailand. And the king of Thailand determines a lot of the laws and the way people live. So you go to Thailand and you have to live according to those ways. And you have to do certain things, you know, like the image of the king of Thailand is highly revered. So on every postage stamp, now you dare not lick the postage stamp. And because you're licking the king's head, and that's offensive. So you've got to live according to the ways of the kingdom and use the little, you know, sponge things. That's in the old days. Remember posting letters? Or email, you know, or anything. If you found a coin on the ground that had the king's head on, you dare not sort of touch with your foot. You know, there's all kinds of rules. But so the kingdom of heaven, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, these are the principles of the kingdom of God, what it's like in heaven. When we pray, we have that sense of we are praying for the kingdom, not just for our own needs. That's why Luke 12, 31 says, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. I've made a lifetime of seeking his kingdom above my own needs. I'm telling you, I'm not doing without. Because as I seek his kingdom, it's a promise. It says, I will provide all these things, clothes that I need and the food that I need and the resources and the things. I'm just going to keep seeking first his kingdom.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service, or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood, let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your